Several popular mobile games are currently banned in the United States, much to the surprise of their developers. Plus, several popular indie games are currently filtered out in a Better eShop made by a gaming outlet. Tonight is January 19th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Tiger Claw says it's been an interesting week. It has been. We're going to have lots of interesting weeks. Lots of hogwash. Lots of other things that maybe are not hogwash. But welcome to an interesting week edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this Sunday night, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape this show live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But we are a podcast. We are on Discord. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can keep up with us throughout the week. Submit stories that you maybe want us to talk about or bring things to my attention that maybe I say incorrectly. Because while I am most of the time right, I am not all the time right, as much as I hate to say it. So come join us. So this past weekend, though... at least for the last 3 days, I have been at a local convention that is a board game and tabletop role-playing game convention. It's called Dice and Diversions. Now, Dice and Diversions, it is by the same people who do the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which you've heard me talk about here on the show a lot. It started off as a pinball and arcade expo. They added a lot of gaming stuff. They had a lot of board games and tabletop role-playing games. And those same people were like, you know what? Doing one convention a year is not enough. It's not enough. We need to do two. And what they did is they decided in 2019 they were going to do a second convention. And this second convention was going to hit on the next thing, the other thing that really, really loved, that they really, really loved. Their childhood in the 1980s. Now, I know what you're thinking. They're like, what does that have to do with Dice and Diversions? I'm getting to that. So they had, they were going to have, in April of 2020, they were going to have a convention called Wayback Weekend, which was all about the 80s. It was all about childhood. So childhood toys, childhood games, childhood cartoons, Saturday morning cartoons, all about childhood in the 80s. And they were going to do this in April of 2020. And obviously, that didn't happen. So they had to, like, cancel all of that and, you know, pay all the money because they couldn't put it on. And it was the first time they were going to do it, so it wasn't like there was any kind of intrinsic audience for it. And they took that and, like, made a magazine about that type of stuff, and that magazine ended and things like that. So they were like, all right, that didn't work, because they weren't going to try it again. I guess maybe there also wasn't that much interest leading up to March of 2020 before they canceled it. And so they're like, well, what should we do? Well, we know that the tabletop role-playing and the board game stuff at Southern Fried Gaming Expo is super popular. And Southern Fried Gaming Expo started off as, I'm not going to say the word pastiche, but that's the one that's come to my mind. A pastiche of California Extreme is how it started. It was basically like, hey, California Extreme is amazing. What if we bring something like that to Atlanta? And that's what Southern Fried Gaming Expo was. It was a pastiche of California Extreme. They just said, well, what if we bring the Gen Con experience to Atlanta, Gen Con being in Indianapolis, and what if we do something like that where there's board games, but you could also pay for ticketed games that are run by professional game masters or even maybe by the designer themselves? And what if we do things like that? And so they said, okay, instead of Wayback Weekend, let's try Dice and Diversions. D&D. Get it? Haha. So they created a convention that was basically just the board game and the tabletop stuff, including all the same things that they had. In fact, it is the SFGE, the Southern Fried Gaming Expo board game library that you're renting out of. That's what everything says. So it's all the same stuff, minus the video games, minus the pinball, minus the arcade. And it's all the and no panels. They don't do any panels. What they do instead is there are ticketed events where they call it Eat, Play, Win, where you get food. So, like, we actually did this for dinner. So dinner each night, what we would do is we would pay for dinner, and then we would get taught a board game. Everybody at the dinner would play a board game. Everybody at each table would have a copy of it there. And then whoever won kept the game. And then they had raffles, and they had stuff like that as well. So that's what they do for kind of like events instead of like Q&A panels and stuff that you would find at normal conventions. But other than that, you are checking out a board game from the board game library, and you are sitting down with either people you've just met, because there's a little players wanted sign, a little tent, or your friends. And I basically sat and played with some friends the whole time. And there were some vendors in the back as well. But mainly it was just these open gaming tables that you could sit down and you could sit at and play a game. People brought their own games. But also the real thing was you could go and you could actually play the game. Now, what I'm showing here is actually the play to win. So this is different from the library. You could play these games and then you say, okay, I played it, sign up, and you could possibly win one of these games. We unfortunately did not win any of those games. We did win some other games and some other raffles. So it was a very good weekend. So it's a nice little convention. I think there were probably less than 1,000 people at the whole thing. And it ran for 3 days. And, you know, yeah, I think it was like less than 1,000 people. And so I got to play some cool games. We won some games. We bought some games. So it was a nice little diversion for the weekend. So that's what it was, a Dice and Diversions. And then we will see them again in June for Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which is we're hopefully going to be sponsoring it again. We're intending to sponsor it again. And I will say that the reason it is in June this year is because the weekend they usually do it is the weekend of, sorry, pod culture, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which is happening literally across the street. So they couldn't get their normal weekend, so they had to have it in June. It'll most likely be back on like the second weekend of July, starting next year once again. I told them I preferred it being in June. They preferred being in July. So, yeah. ZenMonkey11 says, those board games are too close to each other. What if pieces get mixed up? We are all professional board gamers that are there. I'm sorry you are not a professional board gamer, but we know. We know what we're doing. What they do at the library, though, is they weigh them. So they know exactly how much the game weighs. Then you check it out. When you bring it back, they weigh it. And if it's lighter, they know that you've missed something. And then you get in trouble. Because your badge number, they know who's renting out each game. So that is, and that's what a lot of places do. Gen Con does that. A lot of other, Dragon Con does that with their game library. That's what a lot of places do. But it's a lot of fun, and the board gaming scene has grown a lot, especially in the last like 10 years, 20 years. Lots of different type of board games. There's something for everybody. So let's talk about video games. And because I was there, I really wasn't affected all that much by all the stuff, the craziness that happened this past weekend, last night and then today. But this was an interesting thing because this was unexpected to everybody. And in fact, somebody even posted on Blue Sky. They're like, what's going on here? And they said, none of the regular media outlets are covering this part. And some are. It's just you got to know where to look. But Polygon reports that all focus was on TikTok in the last week, as the company prepared to and eventually did shut down its video sharing app to adhere to a national security law explicitly aimed at the ByteDance-owned company. ByteDance is the company that owns it. And that is the company that is at the center of this story. But the U.S. action has resulted in a broader ripple effect. Marvel Snap players discovered on Saturday night that the card battle game has also gone dark and had been removed from Apple and Google app stores at the same time as TikTok. The game remains offline along with several other apps connected to ByteDance. Second Dinner, the U.S.-based developer of Marvel Snap, they're in California, said in a statement that it was a surprise that the game had gotten caught up in the net of the TikTok shutdown. But since the game is published by Nuverse, N-U-V-E-R-S-E, they're a subsidiary of ByteDance. The app was held to the same complicated standards as TikTok. Second Dinner was quick to promise that Marvel Snap isn't going anywhere. So and they posted a post about it and basically said, yeah, no, it's affected by the same ban because that was the publishing agreement. Now, Forbes, this was actually put in our Discord, a statement, thing from Forbes. So it's developed, Marvel Snap is developed by a company called Second Dinner, completely American, based in California, staffed by Americans and H-1B visas probably, and, you know, things like that. So, but it's fully American. So ByteDance was the publisher of Marvel Snap. There was a somewhat ugly situation back in 2023 where ByteDance divested from its gaming Nuverse subsidiary as part of a restructure of the gaming business. ByteDance was like, you know what, we're going to concentrate on social media. We're not going to do this much gaming. But Marvel Snap is still operating. Even though ByteDance no longer publishes it, Marvel Snap was initially published by ByteDance and therefore falls under the law, and it falls under the national security. So Marvel Snap is currently a national security issue because of its publisher, who is no longer publishing it, but it was published by ByteDance. So they probably have to, I don't know what they're going to have to do. Obviously, there's also legal things that are happening that may not require them to do anything, but they may need to like republish under a different publisher, and then they'll be back. So ByteDance, unfortunately, is still technically the publisher. The move also surprised Marvel Snap players who had received no advance warning, and even the developer wasn't told. They didn't realize they were going to be hit with this. The TikTok ban has also affected other Nuverse titles that you probably haven't heard of, like Land of Empires Immortal, Land of Empires Dice Hero, and Mission Evo. Games from the ByteDance-owned Moonton were also affected by the law, including Mobile Legends Bang Bang, Mobile Legends Adventure, Watcher of Realms, and One Punch Man, The Strongest. So there are a bunch of apps, I believe, like in terms of like social media, CapCut, which a lot of people use and pay for to edit videos for multiple different platforms, not just TikTok, that's unavailable. And Lemon 8, I believe, is another platform or something. That's also gone. So ByteDance apparently publishes a lot of things that people use that people didn't even realize they used. Tiger Claw does point out that TikTok's ban was short-lived. Yes, TikTok is now back up because there have been some assurances made by the incoming administration that wanted this in the first place. Let's make that clear. Like the person who's coming in is the person that wanted it banned in the first place. But Marvel Snap hasn't come back yet. All the other stuff hasn't come back yet because really TikTok is the center of attention. TikTok is the thing they were going after. All of this other stuff is collateral damage. I don't think the government actually believes that Marvel Snap is a national security issue. I don't actually believe that. However, because of the way that the law was written, it has to be broad enough because it is actually illegal for them to specifically target one thing. They can't write a law to specifically say this one company cannot do this. This one app cannot exist. This one person can't play sports. What they can do is they can write out a law that has all of the characteristics of that company or that person, and that can go in, and it's going to affect other people that they don't intend, But in order to get that one person out of sports or that one company to not operate in the U.S., they have to write it broadly enough that it could possibly affect other people, and that's what happened here. Breakman says, are they being banned because of fear of that big and scary place, according to our government? So I don't want to get too much into the social media side, because like there's several reasons. Some I agree with, some I don't. I don't think it's any more of a national security risk with your data than Meta or X or any of the other social media platforms that are based in the U.S. And in fact, the U.S. government can get any of that data. They can subpoena it, and they have all that data as well. And they actually collect the domestic places like that actually track more of your data than TikTok did. That part I don't actually think is the real reason. I think the real reason that they went after the social media side is that the algorithm, which if TikTok is sold, the algorithm will not be sold with it. So the algorithm is not going to be part of any sale of TikTok. So if TikTok is sold, the algorithm will change and it will be more like the algorithm you see on Instagram Reels or on Facebook Stories or whatever, and YouTube Shorts or whatever. And because what the TikTok algorithm did, I guess everybody says to lull you into a false sense of security, is it actually respected you when you said you didn't want to see something. So if you long press a video on TikTok and you say, I'm not interested, it's like, okay, cool. You're not interested in that. And you know what's going to happen? You won't see that type of video again. And what it also did was it didn't just show you the most popular creators. It didn't just show you the most popular videos. It would show you creators that only have a couple hundred follows, maybe, if it felt that you liked enough stuff that you wanted it to see. Because the trick is you have to tell what you're not interested in, but you also have to like things to tell it what you're interested in. And then my feed would be like cat videos and pinball and some other gaming stuff. And that was it. Now, Instagram Reels, if you say you're not interested in something, like, okay, we'll show you a little bit less of this for about 30 days. That's what they do. And then it'll be like, oh, here's another one. Maybe you'll like this one. I know you said you weren't interested in the last video that was like this, but maybe this one, because this one already has like 5 million views. And I actually sat there and tried to curate my Reels feed of Instagram Reels, and I couldn't do it. In TikTok, I can curate it in like 20 minutes. And the reason they do that for like Instagram and Facebook does that is because if somebody is paying for views, they want to be able to say, well, yeah, we'll show you a little bit less of it, but we're not going to show you none of it. And if somebody pays enough money and really wants you to see this, and we really want you to see this, we can show it to you. And TikTok seemingly didn't do that. Maybe they did, and they just never did it to me. TikTok respected you, what you wanted to see, to keep you on the app, so that was good for them. And it was, I guess, hard for U.S. interests to force TikTok to show things to people. They couldn't manipulate the algorithm for their benefit like they can on Meta platforms or on X. The entire reason that X was purchased by who has it now is because he didn't feel like it was showing people the stuff he wanted it to show. So he changed the algorithm to show more of him and more of posts he liked. Because he just changed it. He was like, "This, we want to be able to show certain things to people, and we want to not show certain things to people, even if they're interested." ZenMonkey11 asks, is YouTube the longest running out of all these things? I think it is. Actually, no. In terms of this, so YouTube is long-form video. Short-form video, which is kind of what we're calling TikTok, even though you're going to have 10-minute TikToks, which who does that? Short-form video, really, I think the longest surviving was TikTok at the time. It was originally Vine, but Vine was only 6 seconds, and that was part of Twitter at the time. And then Twitter discontinued it, and then TikTok took off. YouTube Shorts came after that. Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts were a response to TikTok, but they couldn't take the market share of TikTok because TikTok was really the first to market on this. And so that's why they're also very glad that TikTok's getting banned, because they think people are going to go over to their stuff. And not, they're not going to, the Gen Z, they're not going to go to like an actual Chinese owned app with its actual data servers in China, because TikTok had their data servers in Texas for us in the US. They're not going to go over to anything like that. They're going to come over to Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. That's totally what's going to happen. And Questbuster says, as a side note, TikTok is not even available in China. ByteDance developed a different but similar app for the Chinese market. Yes, that's why the data centers for TikTok are not in China, because it doesn't operate in China. It operates in out of Texas. And Tiger Claw says, the only thing annoying about shorts, it's all vertical videos. I hate to say it for us, because this pains me to say. Vertical video is what people want. I made the joke for the longest time, for about 10, 15 years, when people started taking phones on video on their cell phones, right? I made the joke multiple times, like, you know, with, you know, the Star Wars crawl, but the, like the curtains were halfway through, and like, no, everybody watches stuff like this. Everybody, no, actually, most of the younger generation watch like a horizontal video is really tiny on the screen that they're looking at. It's really just the people my age and older, and some people that are, you know, maybe, you know, kind of in our age bracket that grew up on, you know, watching TV on TVs and not on small screens. We're the only ones that say the vertical video is bad. Most of the videos I take are now vertical, except for the ones that, like, I know I'm going to show on this podcast, but other than that, a lot of things, it's just people are, because frankly, people are vertical. Think about it this way. When, you know, you're doing something that's horizontal, you're trying to get the scene and stuff. A lot of social media is about people, and people are vertical. It's easier to see, it's easier to fit a person in a picture that's vertical than a person. The person's too small if you're horizontal. SJ1 Matt says, I like that Mark Cuban is offering to fund anyone that is able to make a TikTok equivalent on the AT protocol. So AT protocol, that is what Blue Sky runs off of. And it is a lot like what Mastodon uses, which is called ActivityPub, but it is also different in certain ways. But it's decentralized. If Blue Sky gets taken down, the AT protocol still exists. It's like the web, except you use a social media client to interact with it instead of a web browser. So somebody's already built, and I forget what it is called, but there is already kind of an Instagram clone being developed by someone at Blue Sky. Flashes. It's called Flashes. And it is basically using the AT protocol with an Instagram-like interface, whereas Blue Sky looks a lot like X. Flashes is going to look a lot like Instagram. And so somebody could make one that acts like TikTok using the AT protocol. They would just need to get the storage space for all the videos, because that's the hard part of a video app, is the storage space. So, and Rob Roberts does say Flashes is more of a filter for existing posts, though I think people are missing that. And it's a different lens to view Blue Sky. So what theoretically could happen in the AT protocol is somebody could say, well, this post is for my followers that are on text platforms. And it could include pictures as well. Or if it only has pictures in the Flashes app, you would see just the pictures and you would interact like that. And they could do the same thing with video and have it be on TikTok. So or their TikTok equivalent, whatever they're going to call it. ZenMonkey11 says call it QuickTok. But anyway, so getting back to the topic that we were talking about, hopefully Marvel Snap will come back soon. And all the other mobile games that people like. There are a lot of people to play those mobile games. Maybe they don't listen to this podcast, but Marvel Snap is the big one. But it turns out ByteDance funded a lot of American companies, and them not being able to operate in the U.S. is hurting a lot more people than anybody expected. Rob Roberts says Skylight.social is going after the Mark Cuban investment and is supposedly coded something in 72 hours they pushed to Apple Store for review. And ZenMonkey11 says, Marvel Snap will be back in 5 years if you know your Marvel history. We did get an announcement of something that is coming very, very soon. And it is very much the, we know you know, please stop bothering us. We know you know. Don't bug us until April. That's what this was. So Nintendo finally released a computer-generated, completely computer-animated, most likely by actual artists. I don't think they're actually using AI video for any of this. So they're doing. They released a completely computer-generated, animated video showing you the ports and the Joy-Cons of what they are calling right now the Nintendo Switch 2. I am saying they're calling it right now the Nintendo Switch 2 because this is not a physical device that they showed. They showed nothing physical. They showed computer renderings. Now, I absolutely believe that this is what the device is going to look like. I absolutely believe that 100%. We are just not seeing an actual physical system here. They made some hints about things like, you know, showing Joy-Cons, like showing the Joy-Cons, showing the analog sticks moving around. So, you know, people are like, oh, did they fix things? And then it did show the new locking mechanism, which I believe is partially magnetic, which is there's a lot of charging things that have magnets as well, and a different way to snap things in and out. And they called it the Nintendo Switch, and they just put a big number 2 next to the Switch logo. I am still not convinced that the name of the new console is Nintendo Switch 2. They also showed a Mario Kart that had 24 places on the track. So even though everybody's like, oh, that's Mario Kart 8, we don't know that track. And there were 24 spaces at the starting line, which is not something that is currently in Mario Kart 8. So maybe we saw Mario Kart 9. They're going to show more on April 2nd, which some people were hoping it was February 4th because of the way people write dates. But no, it is April 2nd is when they're going to be doing it. And then there's going to be a series of hands-on events in certain places. You had to join a lottery for it in the U.S. It's New York, Los Angeles, and Dallas. And that's it. So we also know that it's going to be backwards compatible with most Nintendo Switch games. And there will be games that will only work on this Nintendo Switch. I still think that the name's going to change. I don't think it's going to be called Switch 2. People disagree. I could be wrong. I am less confident that it's going to not be called Switch 2 because they made this this trailer and actually have kind of somewhat of a logo for it. But I still think they're going to have it. Like, I don't know if they're going to call it, you know, like, Nintendo Snap would be good if they didn't already have Pokemon Snap and other Snap-related franchise, because the controllers do seem to snap on in this. And I believe somebody said that it looks kind of flimsy. And I don't think so. I think it's going to be fine because there's a lot of connectors now have a magnetic connector in them. With your phone, you can get them for your phone. I've got them on like my PlayStation VR 2 controllers, and they snap right in to the charging dock. So I think that's going to be fine, and it's going to have a better connection with the console. Fifth Dream does say PlayStation 2 was fine because everybody said, you know, I've been told that a couple times, like PlayStation was this, right? They've done that since the beginning, though. And it'd be kind of weird if PlayStation didn't keep doing that at this point. We would, if the next console is going to be called the PlayStation 6, because it would be really jarring if they didn't do it that way. Nintendo has never really done that before. Even the sequel to the 3DS was not the 3DS 2. It was the 3DS XL, and then it was the 2DS. So I guess it had a 2 in it. But, you know, the Game Boy Advance was the successor to the Game Boy. It wasn't the Game Boy 2, right? So that's why I think they're going to have something else. I thought possibly Nintendo Shift would be the name. That was kind of my prediction. It is one letter off of a curse word. And so, you know, people would be like, oh, the Nintendo. Yeah, no. Because like, oh, when you're playing your Nintendo, when you're taking a shit, yeah, that's when you'd be doing it. We'll see. We'll see in April. They didn't release anything else. It was okay, we know you know. All the leaks that you've seen, it looks like that. Yes, okay, cool. We'll tell you more in April, and now you can sit and wonder what you're going to see in April. ZenMonkey11 says, my only issue with the Switch 2 is that they didn't really change the dock. They didn't show the dock. Did we? We did see the dock. Yes, they did. You're right. They didn't really change the dock. You still have to risk putting your screen in that thing. I don't know what they did that. They had a screen scratch issue with the 3DS early on, too. It would scratch the screen when you closed it. Have you had issues with the screen scratching in the Switch? Because, like, my dock, when I put my Switch in the dock, the screen does not hit the side at all. Like, it never touches. There's actually room between the Switch and the dock. But if somebody's not careful, you're correct. Anything can scratch. Like, I could scratch my phone if I'm not careful. But my Switch dock, at least, my Switch dock and the Switch, the screen never comes in contact with the dock itself. ZenMonkey11 says, I put in my Switch very carefully. I've only docked it 4 times. I'm scared. I've docked mine 80 bajillion times, and I have no screen protector, and, I mean, it's a little dirty, but it's fine. I just docked it again, and the screen didn't touch, but I'm also kind of used to it. Tiger Claw says maybe call it the Switch Pro or the Switch Ultra. They've used the Ultra designation before, because the Nintendo 64 used to be Ultra 64. Anyway, Breakman says that is not how you clean a screen. You are correct. Breakman says one correct thing a night, and that is the one correct thing he said tonight. One of the things that was said earlier, I want to kind of come back to, and it was about the about doing the thing on Blue Sky, and Rob said, "Oh, they built this in 72 hours, and they're submitting it to the app stores now, and it's 72 hours, and that's great." So, well, I'm going to tell you about something that was built in a week. And everybody thought it was great. Until you actually thought about it more. And I'm going to tell you about this, and you're going to sit there going, this is amazing. Because that is kind of what most people think, is what happened here is amazing. And, oh, you know, so there's some bad things about it that they didn't think through, but it's okay because it's amazing. And so we're going to talk about an outlet. It's called Nintendo Life. And Nintendo Life, they mostly cover Nintendo, obviously, because that's what they live. And they decided, because one of the true facts that they have said, and I'm going to call this a true fact. It is not an opinion. It is a true fact. The Nintendo Switch eShop is really cumbersome and sucks to use. This is not an opinion. This is a true fact. I am a podcaster on the internet, and I have stated that this is a true fact, something that is true. It is not an opinion, and you do not get to debate me on that. The Nintendo Switch eShop experience sucks. So, Nintendo Life's, they're like me in the sense that I don't like to say something sucks without giving a solution. I don't want to complain about something if I don't have a solution, right? So they were like, well, let's fix that. So they asked what the community thought would be the main issues. And so Nintendo Life got a ton of replies later. The message was pretty clear about what people wanted to see. They were content filters because there's too much shovelware, asset flips and hentai games, better discoverability, lack of options to browse the catalog, user reviews, there are no ability to rate games or for others to see. They want it to be faster, load times are slow and painful to browse, and they wanted a shopping cart. The eShop does not have a shopping cart. And they wanted music in the eShop because the Wii and the Wii U had tunes. And so they sounded all reasonable. So a week of effort later, they released the Better eShop. And this is not a mock-up. The Better eShop, which is literally what they call it, is a fully fleshed. It connects to Nintendo's server. So if you want to buy something, it takes you to the actual eShop. And then it connects to their review database, and you can all, and they do have, the way they pay for it is they have affiliate links. You can buy eShop credit, which they get a cut of because it's an affiliate link. That's how they get their money. So if you actually buy eShop credits through the Better eShop, Nintendo Life gets money out of it. So they were like, this is great, because they are not an actual, like, professional development company. They don't have to do design. They don't have to really do testing. They don't have to do a lot of things that a lot of professional developers have to do. And so they can put something like this out in a week, put it out, and everybody's going to tell them it's great. The reason modders in video games can get things done a lot faster than the devs of the game can, it's because the modders don't have quality control. The modders don't have what we call code reviews, where somebody else makes sure that the code you're writing is good, it's efficient, it fits, what it's not redundant, and it's not bloated. Modders don't have to worry about any of that quality control. Modders don't necessarily have to worry about testing. Modders don't have to do regression testing on everything else to make sure that their mod doesn't break any other system in the game. They don't have to worry about any of that. So yes, a modder can fix the graphics in the game quicker than the actual developer can, because the actual development house, they have hoops they have to jump through for very good reason. Yes, it slows things down, but there's a very good reason for it. One of the things that we say in software development, when I don't work in games, but I work in other things, is like, I have to slow you down because we're in a hurry. And it makes no sense when you hear it. But in context, it's basically like, you want a lot of this stuff done quick. I could develop it right now and it won't be what you want because we didn't think it through. So now we have to iterate and try to think through, and it's going to take, you know, 6 weeks to get you what you want. Or if we slow down, spend 2 weeks to design it and then develop it, you'll get what you want in 3 weeks. But unfortunately, in the first method, if I develop it first, you get something to play with in 72 hours. You're not going to like it. It's not going to be what you want, but you'll have something in 72 hours. And so the Better eShop, the reason they're like, in a week, we built a Better eShop, it's because they don't have as many constraints as the developers at Nintendo do, because they have to worry about a whole lot more things than a single developer at Nintendo Life they have to deal with. Now, one of the things that they did, and they mentioned it in this, is they were like, the problem with the eShop is that there is way too much shovelware. How did they define shovelware? Well, they were extremely liberal in how they define shovelware. I believe they flagged 8,500 titles on the eShop as shovelware. 8,500 titles. That's a lot of shovelware. The problem is, they said, well, we're going to flag all of that as shovelware. And if you, the viewer, you, the reader, you, the person using our eShop, believes that this title isn't shovelware, let us know and we'll remove the tag. Essentially, any game by a unknown publisher that was maybe less than $20, any game was classified as shovelware. There were so many award-winning indie titles called shovelware. And the shovelware filter, on by default. Immediately, the Better eShop took away 8,500 indie games. Many of which probably were shovelware. However, once again, you can't just ban a specific thing. You have to make it broad enough and you're going to get some collateral damage. So, there were people, like a single developer worked on a game for 8 years. Nintendo Life's like, no, that's shovelware. If a single developer works on a game for 8 years, it is not by definition shovelware. Shovelware is, we made something in a week and shoveled it out there and people are going to buy it. Not games that have been a labor of love for 8 years. And games that have, you know, overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam with 30,000 reviews. That is not shovelware. Nintendo Life believes it is. I believe Poppy's Playtime was deemed shovelware. And they had some other tags, like romance, also filtered out by default. Now, there are a couple of issues with that as well, because, once again, they applied the filter very liberally. One of the games that was filtered out in the romance tag was a game called Romance of the Three Kingdoms, which is a strategy game about turn of the millennium China and warlords in China going after each other and all the dynasties in early China history. That was considered a romance game and filtered out. But a lot of the romance games out there are actually aimed at LGBT individuals. So they were filtering out a lot of games made for LGBT folks by default. And that's what made it a better eShop. They have since said, thank you for pointing out the ones that are not shovelware. We've removed the tag from those games. But it is up to you to, it's up to somebody to go through and say, no, that's not shovelware. Because they don't have the time for that. They built this in a week. And now it's out there. And now it's up to the community to tell us where we messed up. Instead of having them say, you tell us what's shovelware. They were like, we're going to just mark everything as shovelware. We're going to hide it from everybody. There were actually a bunch of arcade archives. Like a lot of those games that are like from an actual publisher, but they're in the arcade archives stuff. A lot of those, like Jaleco's Nintendo games, were classified as shovelware. Okay, and so I do want to point out that OG Happy Dude is, they launched this after a week. That seems pretty stupid on Nintendo's part. This is not Nintendo. In fact, Nintendo's lawyers are going to have a lot of fun with this. It's a gaming outlet called Nintendo Life. Built in a week a quote-unquote better eShop where they scraped the data off of Nintendo servers, or they have like a database. They have a game database because they're a Nintendo outlet, so they have a database of all the available Nintendo Switch games. And they basically link out to the actual Nintendo eShop when you want to purchase something. But it's snappier. It allows you to filter games, and it filters out shovelware. And they initially put 8,500 titles in the shovelware category, including a lot of highly, highly, highly rated award-winning indie games because Nintendo Life had never heard of them. And crap like that makes the eShop experience terrible. I wonder if Nintendo's lawyers are going to go after him because they use the eShop logo. They use the eShop trademark. They use Nintendo's trademark and, you know, things like that. I think the music they play is literally like the Wii U eShop music. I don't know. I haven't actually heard the music because I don't have music automatically play in my browser. But, I am expecting something to happen here legally because Nintendo loves their lawyers. And even though Nintendo Life thinks they're helping because they're getting rid of all the crap, like games that are, you know, like I think they're, one of the games is called Juiced. And the developer was actually in the comments was like, I worked for 8 years on this game. It has been the passion of my life for 8 years, and you just claimed it's shovelware. And Nintendo Life was like, we removed the tag from your game. Thank you for letting us know. Please let us know if we've hit anything else. And Rob Roberts says, it would be as simple as admitting their limitations and saying unsorted versus shovelware. No, what the whole point of the first thing they wanted to do with the Nintendo eShop, with this better eShop, was filter out shovelware. That is like number one priority, is make it so the shovelware isn't being shown. So they're not going to take away, they took away the romance filter. So the romance filter doesn't exist anymore. But the shovelware filter absolutely does. And they're like, if you see something in there that shouldn't be, let us know. Apparently, Picross S9. Picross is, you know, the one thing I play on my Switch. Apparently, Picross S9 is shovelware, according to Nintendo Life. It's actually published by Nintendo of America. But it's shovelware, according to Nintendo Life. We're going to take a... actually, let's see. Do I even have time for a music break? I do not, I don't think. I talked a lot. I did start a little bit late, but I talked a lot. OG Happy Dude does say, yes, you can buy. You can buy eShop currency codes, and that's the thing. Just so you know, so if you do use the better eShop, if you're okay with, it filtering out indie games. Because there's a lot of people who are like, I don't like indie games. I don't want to see them. Show me the trip, you know, the actual published titles from publishers I know. They may like the better eShop. Please know that they sell the currency cards, and Nintendo Life does get a commission. It's an affiliate link, so they get a portion of it. So that is how they're making money. That's why you don't see ads on the better eShop right now, because they're hoping that you buy eShop credit through their vendor, where they get an affiliate thing. Coming up next is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see what's going on over there. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So did you check out the Better eShop? Did you hear anything about this?
I saw the links that were posted on Blue Sky, I believe by Orange, right? Sorry if I discredited that, or at least I saw, you know, the talk about some of the games that were being put in there that I was like, what? And yeah, it just kind of struck me as, well, clearly what they did was they threw everything in the shovelware bin and then took out the things that they thought weren't shovelware, but they really, like, again, kind of going back to what I had said in the chat, it really would be as simple as admitting your limitations up front. And that includes making these broad statements about, we're going to create a store that eliminates the shovelware. It's just really, I don't have a better word than immature. The whole thing is just very immature. And just shows a complete lack of a grown-up in the room telling them that there's some things that are going to get them into trouble. And that's as simple as that. Like, I know that's not – I didn't word that very nicely, but they didn't treat a lot of developers very nicely in this process either. So enjoy.
And they're sticking to their guns. They're like, oh, no, the shovelware is going to stay, but thank you for letting us know. Please vet our work. This is up to you now. You know, it's like, okay, we did this. Now vet it. And it's up to you. We're not, because they're like, we don't have the time to go through. We made this in a week, and, you know, we don't have the time. You know, we'd have to delay this a couple weeks more if we went through all, you know, 8,500 titles.
Yeah. Or maybe if they just wanted to do, like, since they are a Nintendo focused website, why not do, here are games that we reviewed on this website, and here are the games we reviewed at 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars.
They do that.
Here are the games that are unreviewed.
Yeah.
Well, then they should have kept it at that and not applied the shovelware label data. So again, it's admitting your limitations up front.
Yeah. But they're like, well, we haven't reviewed everything. So, you know, I don't know. Well, what's funny is some of the games they put in as shovelware, they gave an 8 out of 10 to the Wii U version of that game. They just didn't review the Switch version.
Then they really brushed that out without really.
Right. Because there's no quality control. Yeah. Nobody designed it. They're like, let's just do it. And it's a fire ready aim. And then this happened. But here's the thing. Most of the reaction that I've seen online, they don't care about this, the shovelware stuff. They're like, this is amazing. This is great. Like, I love this. And the community will fix the whole shovelware thing. Because it's up to just, if you think a game is not shovelware, you just need to tell them and then they'll remove the tag.
How yes, because you are so in the center of the gaming universe that everybody is going to be aware of your site and what you're doing. It's just very immature.
So it's already hard enough for an indie game to get noticed on the Nintendo Switch, on the regular eShop, and the better eShop even makes it harder.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
so is it better?
I depends on who you ask. Yep. Depends on who you ask. I bet. If, and I know that Nintendo would never let Loki's game that was an NES game on the Switch, probably not, it probably would have been classified as shovelware.
Oh, for sure.
They would have taken one look at that and been like, it's shovelware.
For sure. Which is unfortunate.
Which is unfortunate because we know how much he worked on that.
Yeah, for sure.
And how much he cared about it. Like, yes, it's funny. It's dumb, which I think he would say it's dumb, but it's fun.
It's the game it was meant to be.
It knew exactly what it was. And if you haven't heard about this game,
it knew its limitations.
It knew its limitations. It is on itch.io. And the game we're talking about is by Loki from Orange Lounge Radio. If you haven't been around before, he made an actual NES game based on one of our other listeners' games, Pixel Poops, which I think was that an OLR? It was an OLR Dream game. It was a game y'all made up.
And OLR Dream game. It had a more harsh word at the end there, but it was sanitized to actually release on the Vita.
Yeah. So Pixel Poops is basically the idea of the game is it was started as an Atari 2600 looking game. So it's one of those simple games. And it's like you are somebody in a park and you hate all the joggers and you want to stop the joggers from going through the park. And so you make it so it's hard for the joggers to actually continue their walk because they step in things that you leave. And when you need to leave more stuff, there is a convenient Mexican store, Mexican food store, fast food Mexican store. And you go over
Taco
there.
Taco Bonito or something. Yeah. Generic name. It's YYR did the original version, to be fair. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm actually describing the Atari 2600 version of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go and you refill and then you go back out and create more piles that the joggers run into. Well, Loki from Orange Lounge Radio did Pixel Poops number 2, the sequel, for the NES. And it's a fully fleshed out, like, I don't know how many board NES game with, like, he, you know, got music made.
Yeah, he had some really good bangers commissioned for that game, to be honest.
Yeah, like, had some bangers commissioned for it. It actually is on a cartridge. He hasn't made that many of those, but it does actually exist on a cartridge. I've played it on an actual NES because I've got an EverDrive and stuff, and it's on itch.io for like $10. Somebody's linked it in chat already. SJ One of Matt's already linked it. So look for Pixel Poops number 2. It is on itch.io. Yes, it's also on Steam, but Loki gets a bigger cut off of itch.io. So if you want to buy it off of itch.io. And then you get the ROM. It runs in an emulator that's packaged. You're able to play it. But it would have been shovelware had it been on the Nintendo Switch.
Pod Culture says, where is Pixel Poop 64? Joke's on you. It already exists. You forgot, on the Steam version, there was Pixel Poops, the Atari, and then there's Pixel Poops 2, the one that Loki made. And then YYR actually made a Commodore 64 version of the game called Pixel Poops 64, but it's Commodore 64. Yep. And it removes the taco stand element and replaces it with fruits, so it limits how much. So it's actually the most challenging version of the game, because in the original Atari 2600, you can kind of fill the screen. But in the Commodore 64, and you can't do that. You have to be intentional about where you, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Where you do that.
Yeah.
So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
We're going to be talking about how the name is the Nintendo Switch 2, Bobby. Get used to it. Because not only was there the video, there's an official press release as well. I guess, you know, we don't really know until we have a trademark. But I would say the press release referring to it over and over and over again without indication that it is a placeholder title, probably a good indication that that is the actual name.
It is very plausible is the actual name. But I am not satisfied.
I will let you have your 9 out of 10 on the plausibility meter so you can have your room to make your 4-hour YouTube discussion on why it's still got a different name. That's fine. That's fine.
Yes.
I agree with it. What else are we going to be talking about tonight? You know, that is really the big bulk of the news is the news about the Nintendo Switch 2. So we're going to get into that, talk about, you know, some of the game that we saw with that as well, because a lot of people already jumping to conclusions about Mario Kart 9. Or 10, or whatever they're going to call it. But then we're also going to talk about things you're going to see less of, such as live service games from Sony, because they made a pretty big decision that probably won't surprise any of you, but what was impacted might actually surprise some of you. So we'll be talking about all that and much more tonight on OLR.
I think the new game's just going to be called Mario Kart. They have not released a game just called Mario Kart ever. They had Super Mario Kart, and then Mario Kart 64... Then they added the numbers, and I bet they're going to be like, nope, it's just Mario Kart.
I would rank that higher on the plausibility scale than your previous assertion. But because especially if it's going to be the type of thing where they want to sell more tracks later, sell more cars, turn it into a little bit more of a
live service game.
Mario Kart just by itself actually does make a lot of sense. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't think the verdict is in on that until April.
Yeah. Breakman says Bobby is batting zero on naming today. Look, we don't know what I'm batting yet because we don't actually know yet.
We don't know yet.
I did not see the little R symbol next to the two.
No, there was no R or trademark, and I even searched the trademark database because I really wanted to put it down and say, here you go, Bobby, you're wrong, but it turns out it's not trademark.
And if you had shown me the trademark thing, I'd be like, okay. Yeah. Like I would drop it right then.
Yeah. that doesn't mean it's not in process. And, you know, the government websites take a long time to update. So if you're thinking, I'm really smart and I'm going to go trademark that name right now, a Nintendo legal would like to have a word with you because they're on it. Yeah.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
All right, so that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. Or you can join us on our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where we are throughout the week. You can send me things. You can actually react to the things I said tonight if you think I'm also wrong. If you have evidence that Nintendo Switch 2 is actually the name, I will accept it if there is actual evidence. I just haven't seen evidence. It is most likely the name. But I'm not convinced. I don't know about Mario Kart, but it would make sense. It would just be Mario Kart and no more numbering and stuff like that. Because we haven't had a game just called Mario Kart yet. That is still an available name. So you can find me on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com. That is mostly where I post things. And at BobbyBlackWolf on most other platforms as well, including some that... aren't around in the United States right now, but I think they're back now, but they were gone for a little bit. Anyway, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we did have a hype train earlier, and that does help us pay the bills a little bit. Thank you so much for supporting us. The people that go above and beyond, you being here is really all we ask. But thank you so much, Mike Deft, for 73 months and counting. Thank you so much like that. Rob Roberts says, I don't know why I'm getting this message now, but sure, he resubscribed. Thank you so much. Best Chairman Match here, 200 bits saying hype, because I've got to do it that way contractually by law. That's also a national security thing. I have to say it that way by law. It was in there too. It was a writer. That started off the hype train. Sean 322 resubscribed. Thank you so much. And Sean 322 also cheered 200 bits saying, go Eagles, woo sports ball. Is that there's playoffs going on? I thought the season was over. Anyway, Mike Deft thinks it's going to be Mario Kart Drift, and Tigerclaw thinks it's going to be Mario Kart Switch. Maybe if they called the new console the Nintendo Drift, because it's not going to have stick drift, right? So they're going to call it the Drift, so there's no stick drift. Then Mario Kart Drift will actually be the name of it, and maybe that is what everything will be named, and Mike Deft will be right, and I'll ride on his coattails, and I'm going to stop talking because the music's about to play me off. So I'll see you next week. Bye. Mario Kart Blur, I like that one.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.